Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We're all bubbly this afternoon. We're so excited about being here. But look at the excitement building right there. I mean, it's amazing excitement, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Overflowing.
Oh, right. It really is. That's an excited look right there. I wanted to give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience around the nation, around the world. And to remind all of our Gulf Coast listeners between Destin and Mississippi that it's every day now, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6, as you can tell, here we are, to encourage you. And to give you also a perspective, hopefully, you know, God's news behind the news, not just the news, but what to do with the news that we know, you know. And one of the great things that we're excited about is watching what happened yesterday while we were on the air, you know, what we've been praying for, we've been fasting for, asking God for, you know, to free the, you know, persecuted church, and specifically for Miriam Ibrahim.
Yeah.
And she is freed, as we said, mm-hmm. as we said yesterday, but also the fact that she's now with her baby, with her family, and she's nursing her child in a house,
yeah.
but she's also running for her life because there's a threat for her life now in Sudan. So she is married to an American, hence, based on the Constitution, mm-hmm. she's an American. Her children, their father's an American, therefore they're an American, so we need to go and believe that, ask our government to go bring them in quickly and bring them out of Sudan so nothing happens to them there. But we're very thankful for that, and just pray, continue to pray, and hopefully get a chance to talk about the persecuted church today. I don't know if y'all, did y'all hear about this earthquake?
Yeah, Alaska?
It was an Alaska wow. earthquake, right on that whole line that comes all the way down to California. That
really? Almost in Russia, where you see it on the map.
Yeah, the fire rim, the rim of the fire, whatever they call that, the fire ring that goes all the way around Japan's the other side of it, this side of it's California. And it's like 100-something years behind slippage, San Andreas. And you see so many things going on. I encourage you. And we had, you heard Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, on VFN TV giving a warning, a prophetic warning, saying, listen, unless God specifically said you need to be in California, move.
Yeah.
Make it, he said, I never would have said this before. But, you know, just move east right now. And that's what he was saying to the prophetic warning. I haven't, you know, seen anything or heard anything in the context of that, but I've heard others, you know, give words for that. But the water source for California, it's very slim water source that comes out of, I guess, the Colorado River that comes down.
I think so.
Nevada and all that. And, you know, one little quake, one little slippage, you know, and a drought. Oh, there's a drought going on. And so, hey, move east, you know, but you want to be where God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to the VFN Torch and find out more about that. Just search for Rick Joyner and you have all the prophetic words. We also have the prophetic choice there that you can go to VFNTV.com, hover over VFN Torch, and the prophecies will come up and you can see all of them that, prophecies this, you know, everybody knows in part and prophesies in part, but we're held obligated. Anybody's it's shown us how obligated to be able to say what God has said in a way when God says it's time. And understand that, hey, you know, we all know in part and prophesy in part, but you want to know the part that's being shared.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a bit has been shared, and a lot has come to pass already.
Yes, it has.
And the part that hasn't come to pass already, we're just praying, dear God, have mercy, you know, please. And it's contingent upon this, and we'll be talking about this today. It's contingent upon the church. It's contingent upon God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be talking about that. But also, we're going to be talking about Francis Chan. John, talk to us about, he's in prison. What
was
that?
Yes, yes. Francis Chan had the opportunity on Easter to go minister through prison fellowship and ministry that Chuck Colson started. And it's just, you get to hear his heart. He says, you know, I've tried ministering to all sorts of people, thinking that if I minister to celebrities, then maybe the gospel can get out and more people will know. And he says, man, we have to minister to everybody.
Well, he's saying they're not responding.
Well, they're not responding, yeah. But His heart was to go into the prisons and to raise the next generation.
That's
going to
be an exciting really set. Make sure you catch that, because first of all, Francis Chan, just his love for God and his passion for souls and his truth. He just says the truth. He challenges. Every time I hear him, I think, oh man, I've got to do better, you know. And so I'm looking forward to that as well. But also this president, this prime minister of Portland. What's up with our Poland? What's
Poland,
up with that?
Yeah. Poland, Prime Minister of Poland, he is actually telling doctors that they must put the law over their faith while they're they have to perform abortions. So it says you have to obey the law. And so
you raise the law above
God.
Faith in God.
Yeah, above God. This is what the prime minister is telling all doctors there. And despite whatever their Christian belief says, they have to obey the law. So we're going to talk more about that and just find out what's happening in Poland. But very interesting.
It makes me think of the words, he that lives by the law. Dies by the law. Yeah, because you have to fulfill every letter of it. And nothing's above God. Not a good idea, not a strategy, not wisdom, not utopias, not a perfect healthcare system. I mean, nothing is above God. Mm-mm. I mean, it could be in your life, but that becomes your God. You don't have a relationship with God when you put something above him. You have a relationship with that, whatever that is, money, power, you know, whatever it is. But he chose the law over that. He's a populist. He's probably like somebody that's like a pilot going, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and crucify Jesus.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, more when we come back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can public school students be stopped from wearing religious t-shirts? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
I'm a public school teacher, 28-year teaching veteran.
Great.
We have many Catholic students, and they wear very religious t-shirts. They have been told they cannot do it because it's religious.
They're not saying you can't wear t-shirts. They're saying they don't want religious t-shirts worn.
Right.
Look, there's some good news here, and that is, and we do need to hear from the students on this, Tom, so get the parents to give us a call. Here's the good news, though. We had a case in the Supreme Court, I argued it just 2 years ago, that involved political expression by teenagers. And the court reincorporated some decisions from the 1960s that said students have the right to freedom of speech and they don't surrender that right at the schoolhouse gate. And we won that case, by the way, just 2 years ago. Unanimously, all 9 justices recognized the student free speech rights.
To learn about a student's right to free speech in school, visit our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of hearing for the hearing impaired and their families by testing, fitting, and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing. And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking over there.
Smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh,
there.
He's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about it, how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select Get Your Free Plan Today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to him, giving him dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, he will definitely, definitely speak.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. You know, I just want to give a big recommendation to you. If you're having difficulty hearing, ears to hear. It's so important. Sometimes, you know, when you're losing your hearing, you don't really realize you're losing it. It's other people around you that realize you're losing it because you just think they're not saying nothing or they're not being respectful and speaking up. But the truth is, you're just not hearing them well. And the best way to find out if you're having a hearing issue is, first of all, ask those around you. When you speak, do I hear you? It could be a Southern thing too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But also go to ears to hear because they have a test for you. They can test to find out how your hearing is, right?
That's right. They have a great, great place. You love meeting Dean Easterwood. He's a professional, and their staff is, I mean, top-notch. They have three locations on the Gulf Coast, and they're a perfect mixture between a retail place where you just kind of come on in and they kind of speed you along the way, maybe help you, and also they have a clinical side. So it's kind of the perfect hybrid of both. But they really care about their patients. They care about hearing. I highly recommend them. They're great people, and it's a great, great place.
Hearing aids have come a long, long way. You no longer have to use your wife and say, what did they say? The technology is so small that you can't even realize it's there. The question to you have, also may have, is like, well, I can't use my cell phone if I have. They even have that built in now. Well, it works off Bluetooth, so it goes right into your hearing
aid. Right.
Oh, wow. So make sure you go to Ears to Hear.
Ears to Hear.
Ears to Hear. Three locations. You can find out more at VFNTV.com and click on sponsors. The earthquake that took place in Alaska, they were preparing for a tsunami. They were preparing, told everybody to prepare for a tsunami that was going to take place. And they said, man, it was like a 7-inch tsunami. It just shows you nobody knows. Right, nobody right. Really, really knows. And that's probably the most dangerous thing is a 7-inch tsunami, because the next time somebody says tsunami,
that's right.
They won't be thinking. So they'll be thinking. And some of the things that we've been shown, whether it's a, you know, the glory of God coming in, whether it is a when the enemy comes in like a flood, but we've seen 100-foot swells, right? 100-foot coming in, and that's a lot bigger than 7 inches. And but with it, you know, the church is going to be blessed, and it's going to be a big difference. I'm excited too about Regent University. By the way, they're coming out with a 4-year program. Not yet. I wouldn't call them yet, but a 4-year program, undergrad program, for a total of $10,000. You'll be able to do it online. Think about that, $10,000 that you can get. It's a good deal.
Is that good?
It's a good deal. That's a very good deal.
Okay. We have breaking news.
Yes.
Miriam Ibrahim, who was released, news is reporting now that she's been rearrested. Christian Post is reporting that she's been rearrested in Sudan less than 24 hours after she's been released.
Dear Lord, who is this? Christian Post?
Christian Post is reporting this.
Yeah, this is a Miriam Ibrahim of the Sudanese Christian who was locked up for being a Christian, would deny her faith. I just encourage you right now to begin to, you know, contact your congresswoman and men and senators and the president. They have a thing on whitehouse.gov that you can sign up, a petition. They can sign, I think it's like 200,000 people have signed up so far. And we just need to step in. We need to step in. And Lord, we just ask for an intervention.
Yes.
And be involved, because we're going to be talking about the persecuted church even today. That's what we're talking about. And you just don't know. I mean, her crime is that she has faith in Jesus Christ, and she refuses to deny him. Her story is, based on CBN, is she was a Christian, raised as a Christian, but... she was born, her mother, I believe, was a Christian, but her father was a Muslim. So when she was born, they just automatically called her one, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. It's like it came through the lineage aspect of it. And she wasn't. And so that's why they actually had her arrested. Originally, the family turned her in. But Jesus said, members of your own household.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. This fantasy land about, you know, everything's going to be, everybody's watching, you know, these. I remember there was a show called, Andy Griffin, what was the show? I know you're telling me right now on TV. I hear our viewers going, of course, it is Mayberry.
Mayberry.
Andy Griffin Show.
It's called the Andy Griffin Show. The guy whistling.
It's called Andy Griffin. And this is what Andy said. I mean, he just blew the whole you know thing when he goes, I wish I was as good as a man as that. And the truth is, they're just actors playing roles that somebody wrote out. And the truth is, you know, we go through things. If you read the Bible, if you read the Word of God about the families that God uses, I mean, Rahab had a few issues, but she worked her way through that. She stood up for God, and God, you know, did some awesome things in her life. David had issues. I mean, you know, Pat's got issues. Yes. You know, we all have issues. I got a few, too. And John don't have any.
No, he's perfect.
It's amazing. If you only knew, I mean, he could walk on.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, but you could write to us. No, anyway.
Well, this is updated from the Christian Post. They just said that apparently there was a court ruling, and as they were getting ready to prepare to leave the country, she was arrested. And so, of course, her husband's a citizen, and we've heard that already, but we want to continue to lift up Miriam Ibrahim. She's in need of prayer.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think we have, you know, we're talking about the persecuted church here. And CBN has a report I want to be able to show you. But when you think about what Peter was writing about in 1 Peter, I believe it was chapter 1, he talks about that, you know, all these, that we have this great redemption, we have this great reward coming to us in heaven, and, you know, everything's good. I mean, this promise is ours in Christ. But then he goes on, he talks about it in verse 6, he says, in this we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while we may have to suffer griefs of many kind and trials. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's like an optional thing.
Right.
That's like an optional thing. And the very thing that Miriam Ibrahim is coming against her is the very thing that's trying to come against the Middle East and come against America and come against, you know, to establish a caliphate, you know, which that word we're so used to. If you use the word 10 times, it don't count anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, society's sort of like that. Yeah. If you said it 10 times, you got to come up with a new word because that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
Well, caliphate's always meant what it means. It means that, you know, in Islamic rule, that their belief system is that, especially radical Islam, their belief system is that that their God should be over everything. And the Quran, which we would say for us, we have a Bible, which is the word of God. They say they have a Quran that is the word from their God. And everything needs to operate by that. And that would be, if that was happening, they would consider that a caliphate.
Mm-hmm.
And they would consider that a good thing. Miriam considers it a bad thing.
Right.
And we would too, if it means I got to go to jail because I have a faith in Jesus Christ. And to me, it doesn't seem like a peaceful religion. It doesn't. It seems more like a political system and a governmental system,
right,
versus just a belief, a faith in God. Because when you look and you read the Word of God, that you can have, you can be in any form of government and still worship God. You can be, you know, a slave, or you can be free. You could be, but you still can have God in your heart. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't matter. We don't need to change everything in the world to have faith in God. We just got to have faith in God. But that religious spirit wants to change everything.
Yeah.
Wants to kind of save the dirt and the tree and the bricks and the mortar, forgetting about the soul of a man that it needs to be saved. I think humanism, I think, would be the term that Dr. King talked about in his book, which I have right here, I think, right beside me, The Measure of a Man. And so when you think about a persecuted church, it's like this is a warning to all of the world to say, this is happening across the land. I mean, when you see, you know, she just got freed, we're just celebrating that, and they pulled her back in because she was going to be ultimately free, which proves potentially their motives, that they were going to lose her into the masses,
right,
and then do us something bad like this happening in northern Iraq to her in the street justice, I guess, you know, that's what somebody would say. Some people would just say the what would they say? Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, we'll just handle this on the streets.
Right.
Well, that's not, you know, America is a land of laws. We have a constitution that we live by. It's, and you think about it, if you think about the constitution is it's what holds you together. It's what it is, what you're made up of. I mean, think about that. And so to do away with our constitution is like, it's like a fish tank with fish swimming in it, is to do away with the fish tank and think that the water and the fish are going to stay in place.
Right.
It's the aquarium, the fish tank, that holds those fish in place. And our constitution is what we operate by. We operate by laws, you know. And a lot of laws right now are being, you know, overlooked and misspoke to whatever you want to say. But we are a land of laws. If you take the citizenship test for America, you'll have to take a test of the Constitution, and it asks the question, you know, about, you know, we're a land of laws. That's what we live by, is the Constitution. So when you have somebody that has a viewpoint of saying we need the Quran or the Caliphate supersede the Constitution, then the fish and the water spill out everywhere.
Yeah.
We, by the grace of God, we're one nation under God. Truly, the only way America works, the only way it works with the original intent, is being under God. Because this is a great experiment. You have to understand, prior to America, there wasn't a place like America.
Right. You know, right now, we don't have to look very far to find out the ramifications of this. We can just look to Europe and England and find out, as we shared on VFN TV, that, you know, what they're having to teach now are British values. Because radical Islam has come in and has infiltrated the school system, and it's actually pushing other children out of the school that don't believe in Islam.
Yep.
And so now that the England's realizing we have to teach British values, or we're going to lose our country. But they welcomed it, and so we did a segment called "The Trojan Horse." You want to, you know, watch it, and get some background, some context to this. But this is what's happening.
Also, you know, America, how we got here and how we stay here. You need to see how it happened. It was God. It was the word of God being released into the hands of men. And they found out that they could have a relationship with God, but they couldn't have a relationship with God according to his word in the land that they were in. So they had to look for a land to find that they could actually worship God freely. Hence the arrival at Jamestown, Plymouth Rock, all these arrivals was men looking for a place that they could follow the God of the Bible, that they met him. And that progressed over time into people's belief that, wait a minute, you know what? We don't need to have a king, a tyrannical king over us. We don't have to have somebody that says, off with your head, because you're not part of the Church of England. You know, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. They would decapitate, hang, and imprison folks who wasn't part of their religion. And so they started realizing that we can actually live, now that we know God, and we know that he has standards and values, and he's over us, we can be one nation under God. Think about it. One nation under God, indivisible, liberty. Think about it. That's the only way this works. It doesn't work any other way. It doesn't work because we've got a great constitution. It works because the constitution acknowledges that all of our rights come from God. And to do away with that is to do away with our profession that God is over this nation. And then we would end up like every other nation, a tyrannical ruler over Americans or over whatever we would be. And every nation, right before it falls, you know, says, there's no way.
Right.
We're smart. We're intelligent. But I think about this, you know, and I see this tide, this storm coming, and I just see it everywhere. I see it. I see it. God shows it to me in visions. He shows it to me in dreams. He shows it to me in his word. You can just look around. I mean, even a young kid could look around if they actually had discernment to see it's happening. And one of those things that's happening, words that were spoken out, and he talks about it in you know, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He says, when I send a plague amongst my people, that's what he says. God says that. We always talk about the next verse that says, if my people who are called by my name, but that comes first with, you know, me disciplining you.
Right.
And so that's the progression. It's sort of like the Hosea chapter 1 or
Joel chapter 1.
Joel 1 is like, when I send a plague and locusts and this type
that's
of thing.
Right.
Well, John Paul Jackson prophesied a word. You can see this. And he talked about several things happening. One was pestilence. You know, one was, you know, that pestilence was going to happen. And you think, well, how is that going to happen? Well, right now, this week, I believe it is this week, the CDC who are supposed to be the best at handling diseases got exposed to anthrax. 50 people, 50. And the survival rate, according to ABC News, survival rate is like 80% by getting exposed. If you get treated by antibiotics, it's like a 40% or something like that survival rate. The CDC had got the people who were so cautious. And it's just real weird. Mm. It's weird because, I mean, they know about diseases and they said, oh, we thought it was dead.
They thought it was dead.
Well, you know, it's like a shark, you know. You still approach it with caution. It's like an alligator. You approach it with caution. If it's anthrax and it'll kill you, it's 80% chance it's going to kill you. Put some gloves on. Yeah, but they didn't. You know, and you're seeing things like this. And then you're seeing, because that would be, if anthrax got loose, that would be like a plague or pestilence. But then you're seeing right now, intentionally, we are allowing illegal immigrants to come flooding over our borders. And it's not just in... A lot of people think, well, that's just around the border. Well, they realize, whoever's doing this realize that's what people think. So what we got to do then, we got to start putting them on planes and delivering these illegal immigrants to different places around the nation. But this is the issue. The reports are that some of them have tuberculosis. Some of them have different diseases that you would have if you don't have medical in your nation, medical treatment, but we would have too if we didn't have their shots and the things that we have to do when you have. Right. And it's like, so by when you think about outbreaks, if you trace outbreaks, this is like the bubonic plague. It started with one soldier, for example. Then it went to two. Then it went to three. Yeah. But now we have scattering all of these potential viruses and tuberculosis and all these things coming around the land, scattering. The possibility. The possibility of a widespread epidemic is very present just by looking at what they're doing right now and not even being concerned about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
My name is Rodney Hart Brown, and I'm inviting you to come to celebrate America, held at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall for the first 3 weeks in July. Celebrate America is going to be a spiritual invasion of a Jesus kind. Your nation is counting on you. The only hope for America is another great spiritual awakening. Celebrate America is July the 1st through the 19th, nightly meeting at 7 p.m., and then mass evangelism in the mornings on the streets. Enlist today for free at CelebrateAmericaDC.com. CelebrateAmericaDC.com.
We'll give a big shout out to all of our television network out there. We're just very thankful for you and encourage everyone to think about supporting local Christian television. And one way you can do that with VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is visit our sponsors. Visit our sponsors and, you know, shop with them, encourage them, and become a partner. Because that's the way we help make it all happen.
That's actually right.
How it happens. And we're thankful for all those that are standing with us today. And become a sponsor. I mean, think about this. Of all the things that you could be doing as borders are being overpoured by the sea of humanity, as leaders are going to play golf and do fundraisers, as the churches, they're trying to minimize, hide the cross, hide statues of Jesus, pull prayer out of schools, mess marriage, all these different things. I mean, I think it's bad. I mean, I enjoy the Bass Pro Shop. I mean, I really do. And, hey, if you want to become a sponsor, you know, you can. But understand this. This is where you need to put your dollar under the eyes of God. This is what the Word of God says. He says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking someone whose heart is dependent upon him. And right now, understand 24/7 VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, we're putting it out there. We are putting it out there. Nobody is putting it out there in the context of what we're doing. And God's speaking. I mean, we're having dreams and visions, and we're actually sharing other prophetic words and dreams and visions. But who's doing that? And we don't apologize for it.
Nope.
We're thankful for it. We want to know what God has to say. And we'll allow God to interpret that to you. And we even, not only that, we even make it available to you continually by going to VFNTV.com. If you saw a program or missed a program, or you want to share a program, or you want to go deeper into a program, it's all right there. It doesn't go away. It's right there on VFNTV.com. And when you go there, you'll actually see sponsors that are standing with us. visit them, click on those banners, say thank you, send them an email, or become one today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking about pestilence, believe it or not, and plagues, and we're looking at how reports are that they're expecting 280-something thousand, I believe it is, coming over the borders in the next year or so. They're hiring people to come. In January, by the way, they're actually advertising to hire people to come transport these illegal immigrants who have yet to come.
Wow.
To transport them to these different cities around the nation. And that's, you know, as a Christian, we won't, that's the opportunity for us as a mission field. If we wouldn't go nowhere, the people are coming to us, we can go. It's a great opportunity for us. But in regards to pestilence and plagues and sicknesses, that it doesn't take, it just takes one person who has an outbreak. That's why you see this swan flu and these different things going on. And next thing you know, you see everybody in China wearing a mask. It's because it just spreads that easy. And you can track it all the way back. But the thing about it is, like, so you're, why is this happening? You can do this, and this is what a lot of people's doing. They're actually blaming political parties. Or you can do this, you know, other people are just blaming people. They're just saying, he's a bad guy, she's a bad woman, you know, whatever. And some people are blaming the economy. You know, some people are blaming everything, but few people are taking ownership, like the man that you hear quite often in our break segments, that he says, you know, it's my fault. It's mm-hmm. what I did in my life that's caused this. Dear God, forgive us. And so why would these, and I say this, I say that nothing happens outside of God allowing it to happen. I don't think, and I know, that Lucifer does not have an upper hand on God. I really believe that Jehoiakim is where we're at right now, which is God set man in place to bring us to a place, to turn us over to everything we said we wanted, everything that we said we wanted. Think about this. Everything that we said we wanted, he says, you won't quail, I'll give it to you till he's coming out your nose. And right now it's like a fire hose of everything that people said they had to have as a rebellious teenager. They, you know, all those different things going on. It's like it's just being downloaded rapidly. And that means to me that God is saying, fine, you know, you won't quail. You keep thinking about, you know, going back to the place of bondage, and it was Israel coming out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, and they're going, at least I want some loaves and some garlic and some hot sauce, Pat would say, and some, you know, some quail. And God brought them all the stuff that they wanted. He brought them everything that they wanted, and he brought a wind that came down and kind of gathered all this quail together for all these folks in the wilderness, and they went and ate so much quail, it was literally coming out their nose. They ate so much, is what he said. But then it says this, while the meat was in their teeth, God's anger burned against them. You know, so many people think, wow, I'm finally getting what I want. But you never bothered to find out, is that what God wants? Is that what God's will? And the thing is, he could be giving you over to it. And if you haven't yet heard, you need to hear, you know, is America under God's judgment? You need to hear that. You need to go to VFNTV.com and acquire that. Because it's just asking the question. I mean, nobody wants to. I mean, who wants to say that? But I'll tell you the truth, that if you are getting a 5-year sentence, you know, from a judge because you violated some crime, you could talk to that person. They would say, I'm under judgment. Because they are. The judge is going, you're going to get 5 years for this. I'm not talking about eternal judgment. I'm just talking about judgment. And there's three phases of judgment. He talks about it in Romans, New Testament, Romans chapter 1, and the progression of these three phases. And we're in the third phase of being turned over. Now, being turned over is sort of like saying that minimum force is necessary to get us to turn back to him. It's not giving us, turning us away. If he wanted to do that, he could just take the air away. I mean, he holds our hearts in his hands. It would just stop. He's wanting us to say, you know, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And not only to say that, but then to begin to follow him and leave our lifestyle of sin and the things that we did that was against his way. And people say, well, that wouldn't happen. God wouldn't. He wouldn't send pestilence. He wouldn't send a plague. And God, you know, just read his word. 81% of Christians in America who have Bibles do not pick them up, according to George Barna. So you can't say nothing. I just heard a congressman speaking to a commissioner at the White House this week. And he asked the man, he said, has any laws been broken in your agency? And he says, no, I don't believe there's any wrongdoing at all. And he says, has any laws been broken? And he said, I don't believe any wrongdoing. He's like, you know, what laws did you look at? Did you look at any laws and then compare what was being done, if anything was violated? And he goes, well, no, I didn't look at any laws. He says, well, how do you even know then if there was a law broken or not? And he kept on saying, I don't believe there's any wrongdoing. He's like, you didn't. He raised his voice. You didn't even look at the law.
Wow.
How are you even going to know?
Yeah.
Well, I just know the people. And it's like, that's how the church is today.
Wow.
The church is that way today. Nobody, 81% is not even picking it up. So they don't even, you don't even know what it's saying. And and that's why we're talking to you. Maybe you're going to get the word this way, you know, through VFN TV. But let me tell you what the word of God says. Look at this. This will shock you in regards to pestilence. Because he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, let me get it here for you. He talks very specifically about this. He says, when I, this is God talking through his people. He says, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain. Okay, we got a drought all the way from Texas to the West Coast that's cracking slabs and foundations in Texas. Or command locusts to devour the land. In other words, all your crops and your jobs and everything starting to be, you know, where's it was jobs. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people working, but they're working for as much money as they made in the 70s.
Right.
And so we're looking at that's taking place. And he's saying, when I do this, and then he even says, when I send a plague amongst my people. I mean, think about it. This is God sending a plague amongst his people. And somebody says, why would a loving, kind God do that? Because first of all, if we continue that path, we're going to be totally separated from him forever. And so his desire is for us to see the error of our ways and save us from eternal separation from him. He wants so much to be with you forever that he will allow hardship to come your way in hopes that it will lead you to a place of repentance. He tried kindness. I mean, nobody in America can't say that he didn't try kindness.
That's right.
That didn't work. Kindness didn't work. The richest, the top 3% in the world, whatever it is. You know, all that stuff. So kindness, somebody says, well, you know, we did kindness. We did PowerPoints, kindness. Anyway, so we did all that. It didn't work. We in the comfort and conveniences That's of right. life. And there's some great, great articles and segments on the torch. You got to get them. Go to the original tent of the church and just begin to explore that. You know, what does God really say about the church? And get in the word and abide. But this is what he says. He says, when things have, basically he's doing this when God, his people have gone astray, because right after he says, when I send a plague amongst my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I, God, will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. I mean, think about this. God's saying, I'm trying to position you so I can bless you. I'm trying to position you so I can forgive you. Right now, you don't even know you need forgiveness. I'm trying to get you to a point. Well, you know that outside of you having this experience with me, that you won't be with me in eternity. You will be away from me in eternity where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is his outreach to us. You know, somebody says, this is tough. Hell's much worse. Mm-hmm. Hell's much worse. And so his goal was, in the context of when I sent a plague amongst my people, was so that our attention would be gotten and we'd say, hey, I'm your people. And so we can't blame it on the world, right? And we got to say, you know what? I was wrong, God. I'm going to get in the word. I'm not going to be like that commissioner who was being talked to by the Congress. And he was saying no laws are broken, but he didn't even, he professed to say he didn't. I mean, he's an intelligent man, but we're not going to get into that. But the church is doing that. I mean, people will talk to you for hours. And then finally you start saying, are you saved? I'm like, no, I don't know. Or, you know, do you read your Bible? No, never read. I'm just too busy to read the Bible. But I heard it on a sign. I was driving by at 55 miles an hour. I saw a sign. Mm. If it wasn't for these signs in front of church buildings around America, mm-hmm. we'd be really in trouble. Keep putting those signs up.
Big time.
That's the only message some of the guys are getting. And so when you think about it, it's like, my goodness, so the pestilence is coming, and we're watching these transport of human beings that are being used instead of, listen, let's just take care of them where they're at. Let's build hospitals where they're at, like missions. Let's go help their government change to treat their people better. Let's just don't use these children.
Right.
You know, and that's what's happened. It's being used. And we all love the children, and we should love everybody, and we want to help them. But you know, this is what happens when a plague is happening in a community. The first thing they do it on ships, they do it on in communities, hospitals, whatever. They quarantine, which means they take that person who's carrying that virus and they pull them away from everybody else, and then they help try to cure that person. But they do not let the person go into the population, because that's how the plague spreads. Well, look what's happening. We're transporting folks, reportedly, you know, that have different viruses, and not every one of them, but just some of them have viruses, and they're reporting it. And I think it's just all part of the whole thing. You know, let them know they have virus. We don't care. And then they're carrying the people around and putting them in different places. It's like, it's a guaranteed outside the mercies of God,
right,
that this thing's going to kick off in regards to, we're going to have, it's going to be like the bubonic plague. It says, as mysteriously as it came in, it left, but it left with millions of people, I believe, dead on the face of the earth.
Wow.
So many people were dying during the bubonic plague that they ran out of caskets, that if a family member died in your house, they had to actually take the family member to the street and leave them in the street, because everybody else in the household would be contaminated. Wow. This is in America. That everybody quit socializing with anybody because you didn't know whether you're going to get it or not. And it was just tragic. And it happened in America, happened across the world, but it happened in America. But God says, when I send a plague, it doesn't slip by. Things don't slip by God. We got to ask ourselves. And the thing about it is, okay, now, if he sends the locusts and sends the plague because we're in rebellion, and then we have the plague and the locusts and all this, and we repent, Think about this. Since we know this is how things happen, and we're seeing a storm fashioned against us by God, we can repent now like Nineveh did. I mean, of all the lands to be having something in right now, Nineveh is in the news. Nineveh is in the news right this moment. That's what, the northern Iraq. And either talking about this, I forget the name of the CC or whatever they're called. A group came down.
ISIS,
came down and took over Nineveh. Mm. I mean, it's just like God's just shouting to us. But because we're not in the Word, we're like that commissioner before Congress going, I don't believe we're doing anything wrong. But if we get in the Word of God, it's like Nineveh's shouting to us. Persecution's shouting to us. Plagues and pestilence is shouting to us. And we're going to talk more about that when we get back, because I got good news for you. Because if you're with the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, He has a promise that He will protect you from these things.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
For all of our listeners out there on VFN Radio, we love to hear from you. Thank you for liking us on Facebook. And we are just beginning to venture out. And it's like, what is this Twitter thing? You know, we thank you for all the ones that are following us, and we're seeing you come in, and just be patient with us. It takes a little while for us to figure out that kind of technology, but and also our Facebook, Facebook friends that are out there, and our Christian Television Network audience. Hello to the Gulf Coast, mm-hmm. Out there in the sandy beaches. It's real hot right now, I think, and humid. But so if you have a sailboat, write to us, and I'll be some, I don't know, what do you call that?
Visitation.
I'll be some ballast. You know, John and I both got to go, because you got to sit on one side of the boat to ballast the boat.
Balance the other side. There you go.
Pat wouldn't even put, he doesn't have it.
He can't go.
No.
No.
So, but The beautiful sandy beaches. We are on the Gulf Coast every day now between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. And that's very strategic because it's down there in the Gulf Coast region. It is before your local news comes on. I think it comes on around 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And is an alternative to a, what is that, world news perspective? You can get both a viewpoint of what's taking place in the world to get a perspective on VFN TV and the daily radio program. So when you go into your local news and you want to hear, you know, what's taking place and it's a good local news in that area, that you have a perspective now. You have a perspective, yeah. And you can go to sleep that night having a godly perspective. At least we're trying to seek that, that you can have a word over your heart, that you can have peace, and you can help people the next day at work. Mm. As a matter of fact, you can listen to us on the radio all day long. If you want to change the environment of your workplace, change the environment of your home, turn on VFN Radio.
Yes.
Turn it on, download our app, go to VFNTV.com to find out all the different ways you can get us. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And the bookmark. And I was like,
hello.
Right, John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
What's going on? You used to be so talkative when you were younger.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know that
in my old age, I just,
this guy used to keep me up till what? How early in the morning?
Oh, come on.
All night long.
All night long.
Oh, man. Come on. He loved it.
Insatiable.
He loved it. He wanted to talk.
No, I loved you, obviously. I did my best. Because I'm like, my goodness. It was like, so talkative. So talkative, you know what I'm saying?
It happens in your old age, man. You just, you know, hey, just.
That's when you were younger.
I know, but he says I'm not talkative now. I'm just, you know.
You're on the radio.
Hey, hey.
Oh, we're having fun at VFN TV and Daily Radio program.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're looking at God's word, and if you get, you got to get, is America under God's judgment? You know, may y'all make it available to anybody who wants this, and you got to hear it. You got to hear, ask the question. So many people just jump on and go, no, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, it's like, well, what's your basis? Well, just no. They don't have any, right? They don't have any scriptural basis. They're not abiding with the Lord. They're not hanging out with people that do, but they speak with such authority. I mean, it seems like when you, it's like Jude, the book of Jude, he says, these guys, you know, they argue all these points about everything and about things they don't understand. And the things they do understand, like unreasonable animals, this is the very things that destroy them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, a discussion of an argument, a different viewpoint, that's real healthy if there's something to it, if it's sourced, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you have, you know, what are you talking about? And the thing about it, we are in three phases of judgment. We've definitely passed the first phase. The first phase is, you know, not being grateful, not acknowledging God, not having a heart of gratitude. I mean, who's grateful? I mean, you find one grateful person and you want to give them everything you have. I mean, it's so rare in America to find somebody that's grateful. And I mean, you can love folks all day long in America, and it's like, okay, you owe that to me, or I mean, it's just weird.
Right.
There's no gratitude. We're like the top 3% of the world in regards to resources and finance, and you know, people are climbing over our borders to come in, and we're not grateful. We're not, you know, and it's like, okay, we've got that. He says, therefore, he turns them over to a particular to do things that ought not to be done. Sexual sins.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next phase is another phase where all of a sudden we begin to just credit everything but God for what's going on.
And that's happening everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. The work of our hands and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that by 97% of people who profess to be Christians who go to a church gathering at least once every 2 weeks, 97% of them rob from God in the tithes and the offerings.
Yeah.
97%. That means 97% have violated that second phase because they're saying, I earned this money. God
right.
didn't bless my hands. He didn't bless me to put me in this place. And they're taking credit for it.
Yeah. Huge arrogance. I mean, just
the, check, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then the third phase is what you're seeing take place right now. You're seeing this huge open acceptance to any form of sexuality that people feel that they want to be able to have. And he's just giving the nation over to it, just like he did the first two phases of it. And me personally, I really believe that if you go and try to fight a fight that you yourself are in violation of the first two phases of that judgment, you know, they're going to eat your lunch because it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with they are our harvest, that we turned our backs on God, that we stopped preaching God's word. We started teaching other things from the pulpits that we shouldn't have told. We were okay with telling people, you don't need to read your Bible, 81% of regular church attenders. We told people, you don't have to honor God with the tithe. You can rob from God and he'll still. We told them all these different things. Yeah. And it's like, so the third phase of that, and then there's the final phase of it is being turned over to a reprobate mind where we can't even reason anymore. And it's so if you try to go out and try to fight about it in a political way, if you try to go out and try to tell people to act right, they're going to eat your lunch because this is our discipline. You have to understand. And God loves every human being on the face of the earth, and he loves every American. And if you actually think that person is your problem, you know, you're going down. I mean, that's pride. Because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. This has nothing to do with folks who say, I don't want your Jesus, and I don't want to follow your God. I mean, that's, they made their choice.
Yeah.
We don't project on them what we want them to act like a Christian. We just go, that's your choice. And we still love them in hopes one day they would. But so here we are seeing this thing take place. And so it's like, my goodness, what's happening? Well, Psalms 91, I'm not going to read a whole Psalms 91, but it should encourage you because he talks about pestilence right here. And we talk about abiding, abiding, abiding. We even have a plan for you, iabide.org. But he says in Psalms 91, he says, he who abides in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And when you think about abiding, when you're abiding with God, and you know, abiding means you're hanging out with him, you're listening to him, you're reading his word, you're hiding his word in your heart, you're conversating with God, prayer, you're talking to him, you're listening and doing what he says. In other words, you got a close relationship with God. That's called abiding with God. When you're doing that, you're under his wings. You're under his protection. You're in the shadow of the creator of the universe. Think about that. You're in God's shadow. Is that not cool? You're in the shadow of God when you abide with him. That's what we talk about. We're not trying to, you just need to abide. If you do anything, abide with the Lord. And you want to find out more about abiding, go to iabide.org. But he goes on to says, he says, that I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. And I want to be able to understand that because we're such a blessed land today. We don't understand what refuge is, but refuge is a place that you could go to when everybody's against you.
Yeah.
Everybody's home should be a place of refuge. It's not, but it should be a place of refuge. There should be a place in your life, a place of refuge. But in God, no matter, even if you're in prison, like Miriam Ibrahim, even today, when they rearrested her again today, that she can actually be in a refuge in God where she's protected in God. And look what God's doing already. And so we're believing that's going to break through. But you can have, no matter what's going on, and some of you are fearful, you know, you're watching all this stuff because you're trusting in your own strength. You're trusting in men and politics and in Washington, D.C. But I got good news for you. You can trust in God because he is faithful. And he says that he is your refuge and your fortress. When you think about a fortress, I know that when Pat and I were in Jerusalem, we see the city of David. I mean, they had these high walls. And it's just awesome walking up to to the city. And it's at night, especially when the lights are on and you're walking up these high, high walls. Mm. And it's a fortress. Mm-hmm. And God is our fortress. And the thing about it is that he's our fortress by faith, our confidence, our surety, and our certainty. And finally, I want to say this before we come to an end here is he says this. He says, surely, in verse 3, surely, he will save you from the fowler snare and from deadly pestilence. He will save you from deadly pestilence. So if he has to deal with the people, if you're abiding with him and you're walking with him, he will protect you. He will save you from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. And it makes me think about the four living creatures before the throne of God who are covered in feathers, who fly around the throne crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He will cover you in feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the dark, nor the plague that destroys at noonday. Our God is a mighty God. What's happening right now is maybe the answer to your prayer. You're saying, I wish more people would make a decision to follow God. I wish more people would repent and turn from their wicked ways. Like, this is how it happens.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you, though this is happening, if you're walking with the Lord, if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, your faith needs to be your protection, your faith in this reality of Psalms 91. The faith in the reality, when he talks about it, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, listen, he says, your faith is your shield which protects you from all the arrows of the evil one. You got to have confidence. God doesn't just come down against your will and protect you. You have confidence that he'll protect you. You have confidence that you're in the shadow of God. You have confidence when you abide with him that no matter what happens in the economies of the world, that God will bless your economies. Listen, there is a storm being fashioned, and you want to be on the right side of this. And you want to encourage other people to say, you know what? We don't have to wait to get so bad that we were limping. We can actually say, you know what? Let's repent now. Listen, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, guess what? Just like Nineveh, God will change his plans. If you want to make that decision today, I invite you to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Call out to him. Cry out to him. As a matter of fact, you can even go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories, how we are on the journey, how we met God through his son, Jesus Christ. You can do that too.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
There's a level of grace about to be poured out that is striking. It's awesome. It's going to come to sinners and awaken them when they're not looking. Are you hearing me? They're not going to be looking. It's going to get prodigals when the prodigals don't even know they want to go home. They're going to wake up one day and decide, I'm ready to go home.
Sinners who don't believe are going to wake up and say, I believe. Atheists are going to have some light turned on inside of them. God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.